at it here on a Thursday morning on Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey alongside. We'll talk to Dayton Moore coming up 1 hour from now. He's got his See You in the Major Leagues golf tournament coming up at Topgolf next week, a week from today. So we'll find about all the good that Dayton's doing in this Kansas City community every single week. Speaking of mentoring and all of that stuff, great program. So we'll talk to Dayton about an hour from now.
Can't wait for that. Yeah, and speaking of Kansas City community, we'll have on tomorrow for the whole 7 o'clock hour our guy and comedian Frank Caliendo.
Nice.
So, he's going to be at the Funny Bone this weekend. Make sure you go get your tickets online. Go look up Frank Caliendo right here in KC and go get your tickets because he's performing live, and I'm surprised there's still some available. So I'm excited to see him in studio with us tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be outstanding. And I got a message from Frank yesterday. He goes, I'm trying to reach out to Mac. He's not answering me. I'm like, Mac, Frank Caliendo's calling you. Pick up the phone.
I'm okay at this job. I'll say I'm okay at it.
Yeah.
When Frank Caliendo texts or calls, I don't know how to do my job, I guess. I'm terrible. It's happened twice now with him specifically. I don't miss text or ghost or forget. Usually I'm pretty decent with it. Yeah, Frank, I'm sorry, bro. He's like, yeah, can you text your guy? I don't know how the show's even on the air with Mac.
Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, I don't understand what's going on with Mac here. I'm like, all right, let's 7 o'clock. And he texts me back. He goes, Mac finally got back to me. Yep. Like Mac standing up Frank Caliendo. Who's next? Yes, I mean, my God. Who's going to be next? Andy Reid?
Yeah, sorry, guys. Andy wanted to come on.
Mac get back to respond. Come on, Mac. Got to respond back. We got a caller last night that was not having it, were they?
Oh, no, they weren't. This is our girl, Vicky. Here she is.
This is horrible to watch. I have to turn the game off. Can't watch them lose. I can't see pitchers giving away games when the batters are getting runs. You can't do that. What is wrong with a manager not letting Lynch go? 5 innings. Half an inning ain't just going to cut it anymore. I'm paying too much to watch the game.
Yeah.
And to have no production from people who were supposed to produce. Am I not correct?
Not sure.
Well, yeah, they're getting paid to do the right job. They can't do it, then say, I can't cut it, so get out of the game.
Not happy, and really not wrong about that kind of stuff. People who were supposed to produce are not producing. Seth Lugo has a 7.59 ERA since May started. Okay, since April, like 26th, his ERA in his last four starts is a 7.59. That's not good, and that's not where it needs to be. He got paid. He needs to be one of the anchors, one of the guys that you can rely on in your rotation, especially now with the injuries to Cameron, with the injuries to Reagan's. You know, you've got injuries in your rotation right now. You need your veteran guys, your big-time paid guys, to step up, and that's what she's talking about. I mean, Seth Lugo has not been great over his last four starts, and he's out there complaining about the ABS and the way that it's being utilized and all that kind of stuff. And so these are what we have going on right now with the Royals is, you know, pitchers complaining about not being on the same page as the manager and the catcher and all that with the ABS system. You're 5 games under 500 right now. The fans are done, it seems like, right now with the way that this team is playing.
And the White Sox have passed you.
And the White Sox have passed you. And the White Sox have now officially passed you as an organization and as a major league club. They have passed you. They have sprinted right past you in no time at all. And that's why when you look at what the Royals did last year and where they are right now this year, they're worse off than they were a year ago because they're doing the same things that they did last year. It's the same exact team that we watched last year. The only difference is you don't have the White Sox to bag 11 wins against and pad your record now because the White Sox have gotten better than you. They're a better ball club than you right now. They're 4-2 against you this season. And that leads to Carrington's conversation from yesterday. And this is really good research by CDOT on this one. He says, quote, a major question I have regarding the Royals is can they win the division or make the playoffs if the White Sox are viable? In 24 and 25, the Royals were 22-4 against Chicago and 146-152 against the rest of baseball. The answer to Carrington's question at this point in time with the information that we have is unequivocally no. They cannot be a playoff team. They cannot win the division if the White Sox are a viable franchise. They're showing it to us right now, right in front of our eyes. They played 6 games against the White Sox. Chicago has won 4 of them. That is a big discrepancy That is a big time shift in the standings, in the divisional powerhouses. That's one of those things that maybe you weren't counting on. And if you're the Royals and you weren't counting on the White Sox being a better team this year, you did not do your job.
Mm-hmm.
You did not understand what was going on around Major League Baseball. If you just counted on the White Sox still being the White Sox, you failed at your job. And the Royals right now, as an organization, are failing in the standings. They're 5 games under .500. The pitcher complaining about the way that they utilize the ABS. We'll get to that audio in just 1 second.
Yep.
So it's not just losing on the field. Now it's starting to crack behind the scenes, and we're starting to see a division inside that clubhouse. Hit the music. Or the Lugo, I should say.
yeah, here you go. Sorry.
I think we need to, need to just be a little more conscious of, you know, if I execute a pitch, then be willing to waste a challenge, you know, instead of worrying about getting it wrong and losing one for the hitters. So I think that'd be beneficial.
Are you going to be more, do you want to challenge more yourself personally? I know you guys as pitchers have stayed away from that. It's the early part of the season.
I mean, you know, the top part of the zone, it's pretty hard to tell. You know, I knew in the first thing I got at least a couple of them right in my mind, and then I went back and looked and they were all right. So after that, I was challenging when I knew they were there. I did one, but, you know, Diaz got credit for it, but I was ready to go after that. So I think just getting better about, you know, how we're playing the game, you know, the different rules and how much of a difference that makes. I mean, you know, for years you get one off the plate and you know it's not there, but, you know, batter can't do nothing. So, you know, if they're going to get us, then we got to get them. So we just got to really, you know, be more strategic with how we use it and, you know, make sure that we know what we're doing out there.
Do you like that it's in the game?
I do. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's – I can think about just about every game I had, you know, good or bad. You know, I think the size of the strike zone was, you know, a contributing factor. So, you know, if we're going to be – you know, more fair, and you know, we're gonna have the challenge system, and we gotta use it the right way.
Mac, what do you think about that one?
I mean, this is what happens when frustration starts to build, right?
Yep.
We're not talking about baseball anymore. This is not a baseball conversation.
It's not
a guy who's frustrated about multiple things going on inside the clubhouse and with this organization, with this baseball team.
Right.
This isn't about ABS or about challenges. Yeah, he might be frustrated, and there's some conversation to have about what the communication is there and strategies on ABS. But he's frustrated about this ball club, and he's frustrated about the way he's pitching, and I think he's frustrated about the pressure that's mounting, and the pressure will mount for now, and then it'll go away the more you lose.
Sure, it will.
You'll become more irrelevant.
Yeah.
And I think you'd like to stay at least relevant right now. So you better strike while this sort of frustration is hot, because this is strike number two, no pun intended, with this ball club as far as that leaking out. You had the Salvador Perez tweet with the whole Q thing, and you had that drama, and they threw it under the rug. Oh, we're fine. We're fine. It's all good. And now you've got this. And I know that's not the same thing. You have Vinny Pasquantino last week coming out. I've got to be effing better. This is a whole thing. And they go on a little bit of a streak. They win a couple of games, and it goes away.
Right.
A little adrenaline rush, and then it fades down. Who this baseball team really is and has shown to be without those little adrenaline rush, without a quick spat here or a nice little win here or a Bobby epic performance – or Kyle Isbell hit here and there when he's playing out of his mind, has been a below average to at best average baseball team. And I'll say below average because it's what reality is.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is frustration leaking out. And this has now happened. We're 40 games in the season. I'll call it 3 times, 2.5 at least, that we've had these sorts of instances already with this team.
Give me the third one. You got the
Vinny.
The
Salvi.
Oh, the Vinny.
And now this, I mean, I'm giving this a half.
Oh, I'm giving Vinny a half. But this is two.
Two halves equal a whole.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, so you're giving this? See, I'm giving this a whole one.
Okay.
Because this is.
Funny.
I mean, this is Lugo calling out strategies and what they're doing, and it sounds like he's not on the same page.
No, he's upset about the way they're talking about this.
Right. Exactly.
They're dealing with this.
I know I'm hitting strikes, and the calls are wrong by the umpire. I know that. I mean, Seth Lugo, my God, the guy's been around forever and a day. He has a feel of what the strike zone is. If that guy wants to challenge a pitch in the first inning because he feels like he needs to challenge that pitch to help him out. See, again, this is where the damn analytics don't understand the mental side of things. Maybe Lugo needed to challenge that pitch mentally to know that it was a strike, to get that strike, to get him right, to get him out of that inning. You've got to trust your players. You can't sit there and hoard challenges if it's going to make your pitcher's life easier in the first inning. Because if you labor in the first inning and you give up 3 runs in the first inning, you're probably shooting yourself in the foot. And if Lugo's out there on the mound and is like, I want to challenge this, but they won't let me, that's not good for his mental side. And the mental side is much more important than the analytical side.
We had a text from the 913 earlier. You keep telling Cags and Jensen they stink against lefties, and guess what? They're going to stink against lefties. You keep telling your pitchers that they don't know what the strike zone is. Well, they're going to start to forget what it is.
Yeah.
It's going to start to be blurred out.
It does, and it starts to become a mental thing.
I mean, more than anything, isn't this sport about the mental game and about invoking confidence in your players, whether it be irrational or not?
Yep.
Dude, you're the best.
Yeah.
You've got this.
You got this,
you
man.
Whip it around. I've never seen a guy throw the baseball like you. If you think it's a strike, let's go.
Let's go. You're a veteran. You're Seth Lugo. Yeah,
Noah,
sure.
Cameron. Yes. All right.
Right.
Let's have a discussion.
But Seth, you're convicted. You know every inch of that strike zone. You've been in the big leagues for a decade. If you want to go out there and you feel the need to challenge a pitch because it may make you feel better, because if you get that strike, the inning's over a lot sooner. And that's what they're not factoring in. You're not factoring in the mental side of things with these players.
And sometimes the long term too, because maybe you lose that challenge and maybe you lose that game because of that challenge. And maybe the short term, oh, Q, what the hell? Why'd you let Lugo do that? But now Lugo knows that he's got your trust and he's going to play better further on. The longevity of your team. It's like when that coach in basketball knows that your guy did foul or it was a charge or it was a block, but he's cursing out that ref.
Right.
Because he knows what it means to that team and to that player. Oh, man, Mike, the coach's got my back.
Right.
He's going to get ejected for me right now. And you know the way he's going to play for that coach the rest of that season?
Right.
They may lose that game, but the rest of that season, it's going to be different. They're going to be vindicated. They're going to have vigor inside that ball club. So, clubhouse, locker room, whatever.
But also,
it may be.
Too, think about it from everybody's perspective. If your boss gives you the freedom at work to do what you feel is necessary to get the job done, don't you feel like you've been rewarded? Don't you feel like you can go out there and do what you need to do and not get caught up in the minutia? I feel like Seth Lugo is caught up in the minutia because now he's fighting the ABS decisions that are being made as opposed to trying to figure out control. Because you can look at Seth Lugo's numbers and say, yeah, they're not that great. How much different are they if he can challenge a pitch earlier in the game and maybe gets him out of an inning before he gives up three or four runs?
Again, it's just frustrating because it's not different stuff. It's the same stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, the new season of Quarterback is out. We've announced the participants in that. Ooh. And sad day for downtown Kansas City. Next.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Carter Jensen, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty, weekday morning starting at 6, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, back at it here, Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan. This year we partnered with KCUC, who's donating $50 to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for every home run the Boys in Blue hit this season. 1 in 8 men will face prostate cancer. Early detection saves lives. At KCUC, Kansas City's largest, most experienced, and most advanced urology team, you see the best in KC. Scheduled today at kcuc.com. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we'll do our annual edition, our weekly edition, I should say, of Smash or Pass.
Smash.
Ben Maller off for one more week. He will be back next week with us here on 96.5 The Fan, coming back from Boston and New York, doing a nice little East Coast trip. Throughout the first pitch at the Woo Sox game the other night.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we don't deal with B-listers here. We deal with dudes throwing out the first pitch at AAA baseball games. Okay, Maller? So very good on Ben to do that. I mean, I tell you,
I'm kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal is absolutely right about all of that. And so we talked enough about the devastating stuff that has gone on, you know, with this baseball team. We'll get more back into that as the morning rolls along. But I just don't like the aesthetics that are happening right now. I don't like the pitcher upset with the way that they utilize things and strategy.
No.
It really isn't. Vibes are very bad.
Vibes are bad.
Yep.
It's May 14th, not completely over to provide my one inkling of hope, but yeah, it sounds bad and we should be frustrated.
Yeah, but what gives you hope right now with this ball club? If you're looking at this team right now,
the only
thing
that I could really point to is Bobby Witt Jr.,
right.
And I could point to a couple other maybe role players that have shined here and there. I've really liked what I've seen from Kyle Isbell. Obviously, he's been a nice surprise.
Sure.
Obviously, Michael Massey's had a couple nice it's been things like that.
Moments,
it's flashes that maybe some of them become consistent. But no, I think that he's the best player in the AL right now. So that'd be the thing that I could point to and say, okay, well, Bobby Witt and maybe the other Hall of Famer on this team figures out how to hit the baseball game.
Yeah.
But right now, Salvador Perez.
He stunk last night, too.
0-for-4, 5 left on base, I believe.
Yeah, not a good night for Salvador Perez. And what's interesting is it doesn't feel like Mac and guys, that this team is, and I say guys because I want to hear from the text line on this one. And yes. Hal, if you want to call in too on this topic, you can as well. I would love to hear from you guys. But 913, what's the number? 586-7965. I don't touch the phones around here, right?
Jay Southland, tow service text line. Yeah. Phone number 913-586-7965. Call in.
But there was an article on CBS Sports yesterday about the early attendance in Major League Baseball. And when you look at the graphic, it's not good for the Royals right now. And so it's not just us. I ask you guys this question, and I'm being serious about it. Are the Royals doing it for you? Because the average attendance at home right now is fifth worst in baseball. Only Tampa, Pittsburgh, the Marlins, and the A's, who play in a minor league ballpark, so that skews that one, have a worse average attendance than the Royals. Are fans just not falling in love with this team? Are the Royals not doing it for you? It's not great company that the Royals are keeping right now when it comes to the attendance. The two Florida teams, a team that plays in a minor league stadium, and the Pirates, who for whatever reason, that fan base can get bent. Paul Skenes is pitching on a perfect day and nobody showed up to the ballpark.
Crazy.
And then they bitch about the owner.
Yeah, no, show up.
Yeah.
How about that?
You got the best pitcher in baseball toeing the slab and 13,000 showed up for that game. And they're winning in Pittsburgh, too.
I was about to say, and they're not bad.
No, they're having a fun year over there in Pittsburgh. So I'm asking you guys this question. What's keeping you away? What's keeping you away? Why are the Royals, who had expectations coming into this season, why are they down there with the two Florida teams and a minor league baseball team stadium when it comes to the average attendance that they have right now? That I don't understand. I was a little taken aback by that, to be honest with you.
I mean, I guess, I don't know, you look at it from each year. I mean, it's been bottom 10 for the last 6 or 7 or 8 years or so. They fluctuate between 15 and 20,000 average attendance, right now sitting at 17 and change. Below the White Sox now, by the way, they've been, and they also fluctuate with them. They both kind of toggle spots, or maybe I'm up a couple, you're up a couple, whatever it may be. But you go back to 2015, 2014, 2015, 2016, 35,000, 33,000, 36,000, mid-30s are showing up, right? Great baseball team.
Yeah.
My brother Sean, great quote yesterday. I was talking to him about this because this topic, and we were just talking about attendance and baseball. He said, baseball's two things. How good is the team and how convenient is it for me? Because there's so many games. Yes, the team, it matters greatly. How good it is, how good they're performing will bring attendance in and of itself. And then the second half is how convenient it is. And we've talked about the ballpark.
Right.
It ain't convenient right
it's
now.
It's not.
And the downtown ballpark will bring people just based on convenience, in my opinion. Because you look at this
convenience
attendance.
For who, though? Convenience for people downtown. I don't think it's convenient for anybody else who's not living downtown where they're putting that new ballpark.
Really?
There's no highway access there.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? The Crown Center, where's the highway access?
I mean, I just know that Mayor Q and many others had touted that there were multiple offers.
Mayor L also said the Chiefs weren't leaving.
Okay, but yeah, Mayor L also said the Royals were staying there, and he was right, and that they were getting downtown
baseball.
Well,
after they decided
right.
to not sign their letter, they back out of the signed letter of intent with the state of Kansas.
It doesn't matter.
I don't think there's good highway access there. Go drive around there and see when you get off the highway how difficult it is to get
I'll have
to Crown Center. Do that. Seriously, do that for me, because yeah, there's a highway there, but when you get off that highway, go do that today. Do yourself a favor and drive like you're going to go down to that ballpark.
I won't even drive there a lot of the time, though, Bob. I'm going to Uber, which will be easier to do, though, downtown.
Well,
it'll be easier for everyone
to Uber
go
to the plaza and maybe take the streetcar. But you're also younger. The old heads are not going to do that. You know that. You know the people are not going
to
do that.
I don't know that to be true. Families will find it more difficult. I think families will do it. But no, I think that's unfair. I don't know what older means. Yes, 70s, sure. But 60s and below, I think they're all going to be using Uber.
Text line, is downtown more convenient for you than the Truman Sports Complex?
My point is, I think the downtown will be more convenient, and I think that will bring people, because you look at the Rockies.
You'll have a huge attendance boost. Everybody wants to see the new stadium.
And you're right.
But after that, you got to win to continue to get people down.
I don't think that's true. Again, the Colorado Rockies are ass. They are ass. 26,000 people average. They're 18th, but it's 10,000 more thereabouts than the Royals are getting average.
I hope you're right, and I hope I'm wrong about that, but I don't know that Kansas City downtown has the downtown population that Denver does either, where you have, you know, the ability. I think, what are there, 30,000 downtown residents right now or something? I don't know what the actual number is. I'm sure I can type it into you know, Grok or something like that and figure out how many residents are currently in that downtown corridor. I don't know. It's a good conversation, Mac, that totally took a left-hand turn. I don't know if you say it's more convenient. I say it's not because this is a driving town where we like to park our cars and drive and do all that kind of stuff.
You're the where we park crowd, though, right now.
I am. You know, but I'm also speaking for the fan in Kansas City. You know, the fan in Kansas City is upset about this baseball team right now, right? They're very upset about this baseball team.
I didn't say everyone was going to Uber, by the way, 913.
No, nobody said you
didn't
did.
Didn't say everyone's going to Uber.
No. But I'm just asking, is the downtown ballpark more convenient than where it is right now? Because it's not convenient where it is right now for a lot of people, but I think a lot of people would say it's more convenient because they know they can take the interstate, get off the highway, park that car, and walk into the game, and they're not going to have to worry about that. That does factor in. It really does. As much as I'm not a where-are-we-going-to-park guy, and there's plenty of parking downtown, you have to get past the people's stigmas of things, right? The way people think. How do I convince them otherwise? And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But people always have a preconceived notion when they're going in. But your brother Sean, back to this about why they are a bottom five team when it comes to attendance right now. He said two things.
He said baseball is about two things, and I really liked it. He said, where did I put it at? Well, now I don't know where it's
convenient
at.
and how good they are.
How good is the team and how convenient is it for me? Yeah.
Yeah. And you said in there, how good does this team need to be for you to go three times a month? That's a lot. That's a lot. That you know, most people can get to a ballpark or a game one or two times a year. And that's a good solid number for a lot of people. 81 games. I don't know who can make it to 81. I don't even know who can make it to 20 games. When you have a 20 game package, I find it to be very tough, you know, especially with the kids and all that kind of stuff. So convenience is obviously something. Winning is obviously something. But what's the text line saying, Mac? I love to know where people are on this one. Like what is truly keeping you away from going out there and watching the boys in blue? Because I was stunned by the attendance figure being in the same conversation as the Marlins and the Rays.
Yeah. I don't like that figure. I think there are reasons that we can point to for it. 816, there's a 20th Street exit on the west side, Broadway exit and 27th Street on west side, 22nd Street exit off 71. There's an 11th Street exit off of 71. There's a Broadway exit off of 670. Multiple exits off the River Market, all of which have access to either the stadium streetcar or both.
Great.
So that's good. And then some I agree with Bob, and then or some I agree with Mac, and then some I hate downtown. I try to stay away from it. I'd go to 50% more games in a year downtown easily. Yes, downtown will be more convenient. Downtown's a terrible idea. The next test.
It's all over the place, right?
Yes. Yeah. Bob, you're talking out of your ass.
Usually.
Usually they would get that one. My family's downtown way more than we are near the K. We'll probably go to more games with the kids. I don't know. As I sit here on traffic on 70 going by the stadiums right now, yes, downtown's better. I hate this damn highway.
Yeah.
Def more convenient downtown. I don't know. I mean, there are some that are Mac is dope. Bob, Bob, you couldn't have a better producer. Didn't even know that said that, but thank you.
Did you say that? Did Momo text that?
Momo's texting in right
Mac's
now.
Mac's really good at what he does.
Downtown, no thanks. You know, so it is all over the place, but I think probably 70-30 downtown more convenient.
Okay.
Lots of texts though, still coming in. Yeah. I got to vet these, so you got to give me a second.
That's fine. You got to go. But I was wanting to know what's keeping people away from the K right now to watch this ball club because of where they are. And it's turned into what's more convenient.
What's more convenient? Which one? Yeah, that kind of my bad there. But yeah, I think more people are going to be more near downtown or more often around downtown. I think it'll bring more people naturally to the ball club.
Yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. If they're not winning, it doesn't matter where you build the stadium, though. It just doesn't matter.
That's a big part of it.
Let's shout it out.
One word.
First name is Blake. He goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin. Oh, yeah, you know it. On a Friday Eve, it's Thursday. You know what that means. It's One Word, Maloney's, Sand Trap, and The Landing. It's brought to you by them. They're three great local spots. They have amazing, delicious food, cold, great drinks at great prices. And plus, you need a TV? They're full of them to watch whatever sports team you want to watch. Three outdoor patio seats to enjoy the wonderful spring weather that we're getting. It's going to be another great day today, another great day tomorrow. this weekend. Maybe some rain here and there, but for the most part, I think that sun's going to be out. Some Maloney's, Sand Trap, The Landing. Again, three great local spots. Today at The Landing, $8 cheeseburger and fries.
You can't beat that.
I mean, that is awesome. $8 cheeseburger and fries, and you get happy hour from 3 to 7. So the Royals, you know, you'll hear Vern on at 5:30. They may be playing that over there at The Landing over the speakers. You get there, have your $8 cheeseburger and fries, catch a little bit of happy hour, some live music on the outdoor patio from 7 to 10. Damn, while the Royals are going on,
let's go.
Get some music. Good day over there at The Landing. Let's get to it. One word here. Start where we left off. One word on the Royals' loss to the White Sox.
Tough. It's not good. You're looking at a ball club now that is getting passed by the White Sox, and that's the real topic of conversation in all of this is now you have been passed by the Chicago White Sox as an organization. They have won 4 of the 6 games against you this year. You made a living in the last 2 years, probably made the playoffs in 24 because of the Chicago White Sox being as bad as they were. That's not there anymore. The White Sox are getting better, and the Royals have taken a step back.
Yeah, I would say brother.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, your little brother has passed you up. That hurts, man.
Yeah.
That sucks. You never want to see that. Someone that you beat up on, that you've kind of made your way
right
through beating up on now is doing the same to you. 2-4 against the White Sox on the season.
Yep.
How about this? Devon Achan got paid with the Miami Dolphins, a 4-year, $68 million extension, the third highest paid running back, a $17 million per year. That's 32 guaranteed for the running back over there. Devon Achan, one word.
I was thinking about this yesterday, and I'm going to say smart. I see what the Miami Dolphins are doing. They're starting to lay in their team for the future, right? They're not going to be great this year. We know that. But they're starting to lay in their future a little bit, right? You're kind of paying Malik Willis. I don't know if that's necessarily your QB of the future, of your QB now and maybe next year. But I kind of like they're starting to, you know, shore up a little bit when it comes to a piece here or a piece there. You're going to need some production on your team. So I think it's smart.
I'll go strategy.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think they're trying to maybe build for the future. I also think they're trying to skew the market a little bit and say, hey, we're going to be hot ass for a while. We're going to rebuild. We're going to make it tough on you guys
right.
to sign your players. How about this? Let's skew the running back market now, because I think the Lions are looking at Jahmyr Gibbs going, oh, my God.
Well, that's a great kind of conspiracy theory out there, too. Yeah, skew the market a little bit.
Yeah, like, you know what? We're going to be bad. This is our one good player. Let's overpay his ass in a market that is going to be now heavily skewed. The Lions are looking at this. Damn, we got Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yep.
$68 million for Achan.
You know who's real happy? Jahmyr Gibbs is happy
he's
right
going,
about
woo,
now. Yeah.
Buddy.
Hell yeah, he is. All the rest of the running backs are happy right now.
Yes. This is a wide receiver that's not too happy right now. Giants wide receiver Malik Nabers underwent a second surgery. They're calling it a cleanup. It was a few weeks ago to remove scar tissue that was causing stiffness. He's expected to return on the same timeline. One word.
Well, it's scary. You don't want to have a second surgery when you had that surgery at the beginning of last year, because that injury happened early in the season, if I'm not mistaken,
I believe
right?
so.
Either in September or October, I believe.
Yes.
And so you had that surgery. You've gotten all the way here to the middle of May, and then you have to have another surgery to clean it up just as OTAs and mini camp and the season is getting ready to ramp up. We'll see. We'll see if he's got that same timetable of return, but he's a vital part to that offense to have for Jackson Dart to have success.
Yeah, we're 7 months removed from his surgery. October was when he had it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in May, and we're still dealing with stiffness and pain and discomfort there. I don't know. This is a guy who was one of the best athletes in the league we saw his rookie season.
Yeah.
Not just at the wide receiver position, but in all of the NFL, he was just incredible. His leaping ability, his burst. He was just the way he moved laterally. I mean, you don't see guys move like him very often. So, yeah, I would say Odell. I mean, this is Odell for one season right now is what it looks like. But at least Odell had a 3-year stretch in New York. This may be just a 1-year.
Yeah.
So I hope that's not the case.
You hate to see injuries like this. I mean, I'm not saying the career is over or anything like that. But if we look back and he's never the same, you're like, damn.
Yeah, damn, that was it.
Yeah.
That one little. And
that
you remember
one injury.
Near the sideline.
Yep.
Dang it.
Yep.
All right. Bart Scott, we love playing interesting takes on this. This is a good one. We'll see if it's good.
I believe this is the most competitive division in football. And I think the team that's going to really surprise a lot of people is the Minnesota Vikings. I think Kyler Murray, that addition right there. You talk about the Bears going, I've been that team that has won a division before, and then you go from being the hunters to being the hunted. I don't know if the Bears can sustain. You got the most talented, and arguably, I think at the end of this season, I think we may say that Kyler Murray is the most talented quarterback within that division. You pair him with Kevin O'Connell with the weapons that he has, a tight end, a TJ Hockenson, you have Jefferson, you have Addison, then they go out and get a gritty guy like Juwan Jennings. I think the sky's the limit for Kyler Murray. When you're doing all that, you're going to have little Mandalorian running around here for 25 seconds with guys that's one-on-one down the field.
One word there.
Crazy. And I'm not saying that because I'm not a Kyler Murray fan, but you've got Jared Goff, a Super Bowl quarterback.
Yeah.
You've got Caleb Williams, who had one hell of a season and has really come on. Jordan Love.
Question marks. Yeah, big question marks.
Big question mark there, but still he's had a better, talented. I think, career, more talented than Kyler Murray right now, in my opinion, is the fourth out of four. Can he be better? I don't know. He's never shown me that he could. I've never seen Kyler Murray be better. But he doesn't just have to get better than one quarterback. He literally has to be better than all three quarterbacks in that division, and I just don't think that's going to happen. I still think Jared Goff is the best quarterback in that division.
It's a fun discussion.
It is,
It's a fun discussion. It's a great division all around. Who's the best team is a good debate. Who's the best coach? All that whole division just seems so neck and neck. I'll say fun. That's a fun hot take. That's exactly what a hot take should be, because at first I'm going, what the hell? You're insane. And I start to think about it, I'm going, no, that could happen. Will there be a group of people that see the Vikings be 13-3 and see Kyler Murray running around and say, oh, he's the best quarterback in the division? Yeah, there will be a group of people that say that. Yeah, it'll happen. Will they be wrong? I think more than likely, yes. But yeah, I think it's a fun little hot take there as we see the NFC North start to come into a full picture here. How about this? World Cup tickets in free fall right now. The average get-in price at one point was near $800. Now falling closer to $500. And if you look at the graph, if you look at the chart, this is like a stock in complete free fall, in complete caving mode. Mm-hmm. You should have sold a while ago. One word on free-falling World Cup tickets.
Wait, because they're going to only drop even further. If they're free-falling at this point in time, wait, because $500 is still an expensive ticket to get in, right? I mean, that's still
average,
nuts. Yeah, the average price to get in is still $500. No, no, no. I'm waiting on this one. I'm going to wait this thing out. And this may be a ticket, folks, to be honest with you, you buy right before the game. You know, we'll just see how the travel is, and you continue to monitor and watch and see. And then if you can figure out a way to get a deal, you go out there and you get a deal. But I'm not surprised they're in free fall mode. People don't have that kind of money to spend on tickets. That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, and also, I hate to say this, on the heels of the NFL season getting ready to start, a lot of people that I'm sure would afford these games have bought Chiefs season tickets.
Exactly. They're going to their other games.
Yeah, and they're looking at the price and they're going, I just can't justify this. I know it's the World Cup and it's something cool and different, but I can't justify paying $800 a ticket and trying to take my family to this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd agree.
It's gonna have to fall a lot more for a lot of people, I believe, to buy those tickets. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, we are going to give you a chance to win a $50 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu, and also you get a chance to tell Mac how wonderful he is. We do Smash or Pass next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Tune in to hear Royals insider Josh Vernier every Monday at 8:20.
Professor Vernier sitting up here, bloviating.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk to Dayton Moore. We'll talk to him about the See You in the Major Leagues Top Golf event that is coming up a week from today, where you can help raise money for the See You in the Major Leagues Foundation, help kids get mentored right here in Kansas City. And I know from firsthand experience how vital that organization is, with my wife being part of it, one of the great mentors that they have for the See You in the Major Leagues Foundation. If you want to learn more about that, check out seeyouinthemajorleagues.org. It's the acronym, See You in the Major Leagues, with the letter C. Y.org. Check it out. Look at it. Understand what Dayton Moore and his family and his wife, Marianne, what they're doing here in the Kansas City community. It's just insane. He's just the best. And The way that they help these kids is second to none. I love it, love it, love it. My wife loves being a mentor for Dayton's program, and just having the opportunity to be around Dayton, his leadership and all of that has been spectacular for all of these kids. And so we'll talk more about that coming up at 8 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. But it is time to do a little smash or pass. What do you want to give away, Mac? A $50 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu? You want to do that today?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's have a sounder. And when they hear the sounder.
FIFA.
Yeah. When you hear that.
FIFA.
Let's be caller number 5.
Okay.
913-586-7965. And you can win that $50 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu.
But what do they have to do?
Just say hi. Just be nice.
Dang it.
Just be nice. They don't have to do anything. Just be nice.
FIFA!
Fine. Yeah.
Fine.
Just be nice.
I'll let you off the hook today, guys. Caller number 5, when you hear that sounder during Smash or Pass. Let's get to it.
All right.
We'll have some food on the docket today as well, but first, it is schedule release week.
Yeah, schedule release day.
Yeah, exactly. Have tonight, we'll know
leaks?
Everything.
Have we? I've not merely been checking X, formerly Twitter. I have not seen anything.
No, I've got every game that we know of right now that's okay. Been announced from the NFL, which, I mean, I could count them. It's 3, it's 6,
well, we just have another
9.
Leak.
Did we?
Yep, a big one, too.
What
week 8, November 1st, Colts at Jaguars.
I did see
another big one, schedule leak. December 13th, week 14, Broncos at Jets.
Okay. All right. Broncos at Jets. I did see fun one that was get ready, huge breaking announcement on the schedule. Jags Titans at noon on a Sunday. That's great. Yeah, we do have 12 or 13, I guess now 14 or so games that are officially announced, as you just read off a couple.
Yep.
Let's just start with a couple of the huge games, though, that they've really announced. Let's do this. 49ers versus Rams in Australia. Do you smash or pass? Australia.
49ers, Rams, Australia. I'm not an AFC West guy, but it's the opener, so NFC, I'm going to smash it. But normally I would say I would pass on. If that's a Sunday 3 o'clock game, I'm out. But it's the opener. It's Australia. I'll watch. I'm smashing it.
Yeah, it's the opener. That's why. But I am passing on the Australia thing. It seems like this is going to be a mess.
It's going to be interesting. They complained about that Brazil travel all year long, right?
A lot.
And so I'm interested to see how this Australian travel, because that's a far flight. I mean, you're on the plane for, 15 hours or something like that from California.
How about this Cowboys-Giants Sunday Night Football Week 1?
Smash.
Yeah.
I'm smashing that
very
one.
Very much smash.
There's a lot to smash on that one. Obviously, with Harbaugh taking over in New York, trying to rebirth that franchise, Jackson Dart coming back, the excitement that's around the Giants right now, and you've got the excitement around the Cowboys right now, too. I mean, that's supposed to be a pretty good football team this year, right? And it's fun to see Jerry. Like, that's must-see TV. Giants and Cowboys, that is a must-watch game. That's a smasher.
I saw a Cowboys fan that was like, really? So we're going to play on Thanksgiving, on Christmas, and we're going to have an international game in Brazil? And I'm like, oh, okay, so the Chiefs schedule
last
year.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
What the Chiefs do every year.
That's right.
And still win.
Right.
Ah, I'm so over that. How about this? In Madrid, Bengals versus Falcons. I know.
Yeah,
I figured that would do it for you.
It's not. I mean, I'm not in on the Falcons right now. Of course, I'm not in on the Bengals either. But again, it'll be on at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's coffee, sitting out on the patio, enjoying the morning.
I do like
morning.
That part of it.
I love
like
that
the
part.
Morning part
Hell,
of it.
I would take all of our games at 8:30 if we could in the morning. That would be outstanding, right? No more nooners. Put these things at 8:30. Everybody's like, hell yeah, we're done by noon, right? That's where. And I'm also noticing, too, every fan base is on the we need more noon games.
Noon.
It's
noon
funny.
Games.
It's like every fan base I'm seeing on X, there's people saying, I wish we had some noon games, wish we get some noon games, wish we get some noon games. It seems like that's the time frame that every fan base just loves. They love being in that early window.
That's what's convenient. That's what we're used to. It's what the culture is. Sunday at noon. Now it used to be
you
like,
over there, what we're used to. There's like people are used to driving to the K or driving to Arrowhead or doing whatever it is. People get used to these things. The noon game is the premier game for a lot of fans.
I can change some of the things I'm used to about when it's a driving route. I can't change when my work begins on Monday or what I have going on in my life on certain afternoons or on a weekday night. Or on a Tuesday, or on during the holidays. But that Sunday at noon, that 3-hour period, I can usually keep that. It's after church for a lot of you guys, or maybe you're just waking up, you went on your morning workout, did whatever you did, go had some breakfast.
Right.
And now you got that 3-hour period. It's a Sunday. you had every game on Thanksgiving. You had Thanksgiving Eve. You got the Christmas Eve. You got the Christmas. You've got nine or so international games. Yeah, you're really reducing for everyone the amount of noon. It sucks.
Yeah, you really are. You're taking it away from all of us. The one thing that, like, when we see the schedule tonight and there's a noon home game, people will be rejoicing.
Yeah.
Can't wait for this one. Yeah, exactly. Noon!
No, I mean, I'm that same way, man. Those are my games also that I like to go to the most.
I like the early morning tailgates, taking the bus. The sun's coming up over the skyline. You pull into the parking lot. You're there early.
Love it.
You go in about 11. Game takes place. Kick somebody's ass. Leave. You're home by 3:30. Like,
Hell, that is
the ideal situation. And I know a lot of folks out there right now are getting goosebumps thinking about that because, like, hell yeah, that nooner, man. I love a good nooner.
How about this? We learned this last night. We learned this when we woke up this morning. Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Chiefs at Bills. Thanksgiving night.
I love it. That's a great game. That is a phenomenal game. And it's almost like the NFL is just trying to say, all right, let's see how big a television number we can get. Let's put the Chiefs at Bills Thanksgiving night right on the heels of Eagles at Cowboys, on the heels of Chicago at Detroit. We've got six teams playing on Thanksgiving now that are legit football teams, man. Thanksgiving's going to be good. Again, I'm getting goosebumps talking about Thanksgiving Day football, but I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I love that Bills game at Buffalo Thanksgiving night. Let's go. I like that game better than to have your team in, better than like the 4 o'clock game or the 11 o'clock game, however they spread them out now on Thanksgiving
100%.
Day.
Give me Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, give me the Thanksgiving night game.
I agree. No, I'm
doesn't
I'm
interrupt the meal.
Yes, exactly. Meal is completely fine. My post-meal nap even is completely uninterrupted. I'm an early afternoon Thanksgiving. Our family is like 2 o'clock. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty common.
Yep.
You get done. You still have time for a nap. Wake up, get a drink, and get that game on. All right, let's switch to some food. Because I guess there's a barbecue battle going on between the Royals and the Cardinals. How about this? MLB posted. Who has the better barbecue food at their ballpark? The famous Z-Man sandwich and the beef short rib corn dog can be found in Kansas City. Meanwhile, St. Louis houses barbecue nachos and hot dog burnt ends. And it shows like some charred hot dog and then some nachos that look extremely generic and normal that you would find at any ballpark. Compared up to the Z-Man, which Anthony Bourdain said was one of the better sandwiches ever had, and then the beef short rib corn dog, which I haven't had but looks absolutely insane.
I'm smashing the Kansas City and I'm passing on St. Louis. I'll pass
what
on anything
this?
In St. Louis. But what I want to know
what
is
this?
Here's what happened, and I'm going to be honest with you. Major League Baseball hired Chiefs social media to do that post too. Because that's as bad as the brioche or the sourdough.
The sourdough, yes.
I mean, that post up there is as bad as the sourdough. That one didn't make me laugh because I don't think Major League Baseball was trying to be funny on that one. But that's as bad as the sourdough tweet. Yeah. Who has better barbecue at their ballpark? Grilled hot dogs or
grilled hot dogs? Some chips and some pulled pork? Like, what are you doing?
Come on now.
The Z-Man?
St. Louis.
Please,
St. Louis. Hey, look, we're there this weekend, right? It's important to win today against the White Sox because you've got the Cardinals coming up, and they're a very good team. Another schedule leak.
Really?
This is perfect. Jets at Titans week one, 1 p.m.
Really?
Jets and Titans are getting that first nooner.
Let's go. Hey, that's Titans quarterback Cam Ward, who will be on Netflix's show, The Quarterback.
You know what's interesting about that game, too? That's actually an interesting game. Robert Saleh going against his old team first game of the season down in Tennessee. That's why that game's there. Yeah. I like that.
That's true. No, I do like that. That is going to be fun.
That's a good one now. Now all of a sudden I thought about that. I'm like, oh, that's right. This is the guy who coached at the Jets a couple years ago. Now is coaching the Titans.
Now he's going to the Titans. Yeah. In week one, you're going to be facing your former team.
Yep. FIFA! All right, there it is. Be caller number 5, 913-586-7965. Be caller number 5, and you're going to win a $50 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu. Coming up, we'll talk to Dayton Moore next.
This is Fesco and Dusty.
Brett Veach has the most underrated chest I've ever seen.
On your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.